Welcome back to That's Kind of Wavy. We're your hosts. I'm Nikki.
I'm Jill.
And I'm Chaselle.
And it's been a minute, but we have been busy, busy, busy with, I feel like, mostly good things. Yeah, which is good. But we're happy to be back. So who wants to give a little life update or just how are you doing before we jump in?
I'll go, I guess. I don't know. Like, life has been going. What was the last time we recorded? I think, like, January.
We recorded in January, yeah.
Yeah. So, I've been, like, doing a bunch of shit. I am dating someone.
Woo!
And it's been really great. It's my first queer relationship, so.
Double
woo! It's been just, like, really exciting and fun and, like, doing a lot of stuff related to that and exploring the queer community in Buffalo, so it's been fun.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I know, that's huge, Jill.
Yeah,
that's so sweet.
I feel like it's gotta I feel like it's gotta have, like, similar, like, not that, like, excuse me, your relationship is immature, but like a more, like, adolescent, like, exciting, because it's, like, new, you know,
right.
Like,
yeah, it's a novel experience.
Exactly. Yeah. So
that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chaselle, do you want to give your update?
Yeah, well, Jilla and I actually share an anniversary.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we're not dating, but
yeah, we're not dating. But
I was going to say that's how you're dropping that you guys are actually.
But we both have girlfriends on the same day, so. but yeah, no, life has been good. I feel like last time we recorded was, I know it was in January. I don't remember if it was still Capricorn season or Aquarius season, but I know that I was struggling, and I am no longer struggling, which feels like incredible to say. Beyond exhausted, so that still needs to get figured out, because y'all know how I am with sleep. So that part's making, like, life a little distressing sometimes, but besides that, life is, like, really, really good. Pisces season was, like, the best Pisces season that I've had in forever. I mean, every Pisces season is pretty magical for me, but this one was, like, definitely the best. And then Aries season started and it's still been okay, but, like, Lynn and I were talking about it, it has felt like the second that it started, it felt like it slammed the door shut on Pisces season, like, set shit on fire, and just everything, I mean, everything has been completely fine, thank God, but it's just, like, an abrasive energy shift, you know. But but overall, like, everything is really, really great. And I had UChicago admitted students days. I couldn't go the second day because I was feeling really sick on Friday. I'm very glad that I still am feeling, like, very fatigued and everything, but that's more of, like, lack of sleep. But Friday I was feeling really sick when I woke up, and I was kind of afraid of that all week. Like, I was feeling, like, a little bit of, like, a tickle in my throat and stuff, and then on Friday it just hit me like a truck. So I couldn't go to the second admitted students day, which was, like, unfortunate. But when I went on Thursday, it was so just, like, reassuring. Like, I know that I'm on the right path with all this stuff. Like, I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys about it more, but the program is just, like, it is, I mean, it's also created to help people, like, get into industry jobs and stuff, but it, like, regard, you know, depending on whatever industry they're going into and they're studying, but the program is, like, really tailored to helping people get into PhD programs. Like, the way it's structured, the way that you work with, like, a preceptor advisor who, like, everyone in the program has, but then also an advisor directly into your department, and you're working on a thesis to help you get there, and, like, you get set up with career services and everything right away, because I've learned that most likely I can't start my PhD, like, right after. Because by the time that I would have to apply, I wouldn't have the master's completed yet, so that's not gonna, like, reflect anything extra really on my CV yet. So, but anyways, it's, like, everything just feels really good professionally. I feel like I'm very excited to just, like, give it my absolute everything. And I had a good conversation with Shannon about this, just I'll keep it short, but realizing that it's not like my career starts once this is all over. Like, my career is starting by, if I want to work in academia, like, just being in academia period is my career starting already. So
yeah, true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. So yeah. So things feel really, really good. It feels like a lot of, like, beautiful doors are opening in my life after, like, a very, very difficult year. So things feel really great.
Good.
Yay. Yay. I'm so happy to hear that.
Thanks, guys. How about you, Nikki?
I'm trying to think. I mean, it's just been going. My brother moved in with us, which has been an adjustment, but, like, overall, it's been totally fine. Like, it definitely is just, like, different, like, having A, just another person in the house, B, like, somebody who is not a romantic partner, like, living with you.
Yeah.
Because, like, with Chris, like, I'm like, oh, you know, heart eyes, like, so happy to see you most of the time. Then sometimes I'm like, give me space. But like, when it's my brother, it's like interesting, like, oh, we want more space from each other. Not all the time, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like a different dynamic, but also it's been a lot of fun. Like, I don't know. We've been playing like a lot of Mario Kart, or like we watch stuff together and stuff. So it's also just been fun, like being able to hang out with him more.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's been good. It was like obviously like kind of stressful when he first moved in, but it's like kind of all settled down now, because that was like mid-January. I think that was right after we recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. So by now it's been 2 months, I think. 2.5 months. So it's kind of settled in. But I don't know. I'm having kind of a similar career thing of I've recently kind of like gotten like a second wind. I don't know. It's probably by this point a fifth wind, but like
a fifth wind, no less. Yeah,
exactly. Still blown me away for like regarding work. So I've been kind of feeling a bit more like excited about that and like kind of feeling a bit more creative again. And so, because I realized I was just like not selling out, but you know, like just like very aware of like what gets attention on social media, because that's how I get people to go to my page. And so I was just trying to do that instead of just like staying authentic to myself, which might not get as many views, but it will get other people who are like interested in me and my stuff. And it's better to like be in a, you know, big fish in a small pond kind of thing.
Right.
So I'm excited about that. Like, I'm excited to, like, I just did Juggalo makeup yesterday for the first time, and I've been wanting to do that. Like, that was fun. And it was, like, one of those where I was, like, God, like, I know, like, objectively, like, society thinks this is weird, but I felt so dope. Like, I felt so cool in that makeup. Like, I had so much fun in it. Like, didn't really want to take it off, but after a while I did, because it, like, it felt weird on my face after a while, so I wanted to take it off. But, like, I didn't want to take it off because I was like having fun in it and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so that kind of just like reinforced me being like, okay, yeah, I just need to do stuff that makes me feel good. And like, because that like then shows through what I'm doing. So yeah, it's similar of like being excited to like put my whole pussy into something, for lack of a better word.
That's awesome, Nikki.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. So. Oh my God, Rock keeps looking up at me and just gazing, and his two front teeth are like slightly poking out. Aww. He's just a little bat.
He's a little vampire.
Yeah, he's my baby. He's an energy vampire. That's for fucking sure.
Oh my God.
Cause
wait, Nikki, I have. Oh, sorry. No, if you can keep talking about Rock, I was going to ask something about the makeup that you did yesterday.
No, I was just going to say to Joe, like, I know you can relate on the like gray boys like screaming, where it's just like, why are you meowing?
Yeah,
like at what right now? Like, what are you talking about? Like, they just talk, and I know they're talk, but I feel like I can like read the room, and Rock can't read the room. Yeah, yeah, true.
No.
Actually,
no, I know. He's singing love songs. Something, and he's Finn's just like nonstop, like literally like five meows in a row.
Yeah,
loud.
What
as
are you talking
like,
about?
Yeah, literally to who?
Yeah, God. But what were you gonna ask?
I wanted to ask, how did you make that like the white face paint? Like, how did you make it like a like almost like a sheer coat? Because whenever I do it, like I want to do something like that too.
I actually didn't use white face paint because I don't
have
any
really light foundation or something.
My foundation is really light because in the winter I'm so pale and it's easier to like darken it.
Yeah.
So I have really light foundation already, and then I used my translucent powder, but it has a bit of like a lightening thing.
Oh, okay.
And I put it on it and I didn't brush it off, so I like put like an entire layer of like
that's
the like
smart
white powder, so it lightened it even more, because it's like usually, you know, you would only put it like under your eyes,
right?
So I did the whole thing, and then the pink was actually graphic liner.
Oh,
it was
damn.
Like literally it was like one of these, so I didn't have, I was, that's another thing too where I was like, damn, if I had the right tools, like I could kill it if I could do it with this like backwards way, I don't know how, whatever, like if I had face paint and stuff, I'm like, oh, I could do some really cool stuff. So it did make me want to like buy like white face paint or something like that. Cause that's a, like, honestly, I fuck with like that weird clown stuff. So I'm like,
no, I get it.
That is a niche I could go into, because
yeah, absolutely.
That's something people like. So
definitely. Yeah.
I want to send you this brand called Sunset Makeup that I've been meaning to order from them for so long. And I just like, I keep forgetting and putting it off, because I do like the face paint that I use, but this one just like seems nicer because it's almost like an actual foundation. And I've seen a lot of like makeup artists really, really like their products too. And she does a lot of like clown makeup. They do a lot of clown looks. So I'll send it to you.
Yeah. I pulled it up. I have a different page open on my other screen. So I just pulled it up and it does just like look like very vibrant.
Yeah,
looking at their foundation.
Yeah, because that's something that I've faced with my face paint that's an issue, is that it's very easy for it to not look crackly necessarily, but just like it doesn't look like a solid base in the way that like an opaque base in a way I would like it to. And with this brand I've seen, and Snitcheria has also actually used their stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, should we jump into it?
Yeah.
So speaking of social media and being online and all those kind of things, we wanted to discuss the phenomenon of iPad kids and just the like phenomenon of like children technology, basically. So I think we'll touch on our childhoods a little bit because we were kind of at the start of it, but it just feels like a whole new level nowadays, which like literally makes me feel like a boomer. But also these damn kids and their iPads.
Literally.
So today we were just going to kind of give an overview, give like what the like cultural perception of it is, like reception of it is, stuff like that. And then we're going to do another episode that's a bit more like on the academic, like we're going to go into studies about it. Maybe a third if we need to wrap it up. But this is at least a two-parter, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is an iPad kid?
That is
most
the
people what the hell is an iPad kid? Most people like have an image of their head of what an iPad kid is, but I was thinking it would be good for us to all have an agreed upon definition. And one definition I found on Urban Dictionary that was like so true.
Yeah.
A child who is so intensely focused on the iPad their parents gave them, usually in a bulky case and littered with fingerprints, that they lose all awareness of their surroundings, often randomly contorting their bodies and throwing themselves in awkward ways over furniture, bumping into things, and randomly vocalizing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, the point is that they are not learning social protocol because they're so in this, like, digital realm that they're not like paying attention to what's around them. I don't know. Do you guys think that's a good one?
No, I absolutely think so. Like, obviously, yeah. I know that Urban Dictionary makes it like silly or whatever, but that actually is pretty accurate.
I feel like it hits all the, yeah, it hits all the points of like, yeah, it's.
I would also say it's kids like under teenage years. I don't consider teenagers really iPad kids anymore.
I don't even consider like tweens. I don't even consider like tweens. Like, I think like 12 and under,
but even like toddlers have,
or like nine and under. It's, well, that's what I mean by like under.
It's people who were born 2010, like in 2010 till now, are iPad kids, and those are the ones of generation alpha, and that's when the iPad was created.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like nine to me, the perception is like nine and under, which includes like 2 year olds, because like. Yeah, so even though Gen Alpha, they were born when the iPad came out, which, okay, actually, before we get into that, I looked up, like, the years that certain things came out just for us to also have a reference. So the iPhone came out in 2007, and then the iPad came out in 2010. But I realized, I was like, okay, there's no way the iPad was the first ever tablet. What's interesting is the first tablet came out in 1989.
89?
Isn't that
crazy? I knew that they had ones before iPads, but 89, holy shit.
What are they considering a tablet to
be? Right. I'm like, they had beepers back then.
Let me pull it back up because
like,
I
what could you accomplish on this tablet?
So Grid Systems released the GridPad 1900, the first commercially successful tablet computer, weighed 4.5 pounds and had a tethered pen resistive screen like right top. The handwriting recognition was created, so it's, you could write on it, like handwrite on it,
okay,
like the way that you could now with like an Apple Pen,
right?
Which I think is like what the main thing was.
Okay. Yeah,
it's cool.
It's Grid Pen software. Oh, random, whatever this system, whatever. So it looks like it was pretty basic, but it was a tablet. It wasn't like
yeah,
a giant pager or something. Right, right. Yeah. But then the first like commercially very like successful commercially tablet was in 2002. Windows released the Windows XP tablet.
Are those the computers that like, and I used to think they were so cool, like those laptops that would like flip, like you could flip the screen and fold it and you could write on it. Is it like that or is it something different?
I'm looking right now. I think it's just
can I get a
fuck y'all. No, it looks like it's, I'm trying to find one because people are like, this window runs or this tablet runs at Window XP. No, it's actually just a tablet because I had one of those that you're talking about. One of those
things with the touch screen.
that was in high school. And that wasn't like a tablet because it still had the keyboard connected.
Yeah.
So this was like truly just like a tablet. And I'm looking at it. It looks like an old DVD player with the way the buttons are, but it has like volume up, volume down, like random like actual buttons that you press. And then it has like a screen that runs literally Windows. So it's basically just like a portable computer. It's like kind of like a laptop without a keyboard is what it looks like.
Interesting.
So that was big in 2002. And then again, iPad came out in 2010. And then, what was I going to say? Oh, so at least like in my opinion, that's why like I would not say 14-year-olds are iPad kids because they were born when iPads came out. And so I feel like it took a few years for iPads to really like become like commonplace, yeah, you know, like I feel like
economically viable to even buy, yeah, the use of a child to use it, you know.
Exactly. So I feel like that happened maybe more like 2015, 2016, let's say, you know. And then I feel like it got really big during COVID,
yeah,
when they were like stuck at home. Absolutely. So that's why I'm like, I feel like to us, especially like 3 and 4 year olds are hardcore iPad kids, but like 5, 6, 7, 8 are like somewhat iPad kids.
Yeah.
Because they definitely like had it more. And then a bit older than that, it's like, I think it's, they still use it as children, but like not as like young, like not as toddlers.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it like, it kind of evolves as they get older too. Like they're not necessarily using the iPad when they're 9 years old. They're like gaming on the computer or like on a PlayStation or something. So it's like you're still getting that amount of screen time, but it's coming from a different source, basically.
Yeah. I mean, they're also chronically online for sure. Yeah. I mean, as are we, I guess.
And now, like, then they have access to TikTok too. Yeah. So then they become iPhone kids.
Yeah.
TikTok kids.
Yeah. Well, so did we want to? I know this is kind of out of the order we had discussed, but as long as we're talking about us and us being online and then being online, do we want to like kind of touch on some of the stuff that was around when we were kids and how it feels different?
Yeah.
Or do you want to do that later in the, because I was thinking about, obviously, so we were like kids in like the early 2000s, right? Born in 97, all of us. So like 2000 to like 2005 is like the age range that now we're calling like iPad kids. I feel like that's when we were that age. And stuff this is more just me reflecting off of memory. I didn't look anything up, but like we had like portable DVD players. So like,
yeah,
I would like watch DVDs in the car or something and they were like pretty clunky.
I had a little thing called Video Now. Curtis Connor just posted a video where he was like trying vintage technology and he mentioned the Video Now and I'm like, oh my
God.
No
way.
It was a screen that was literally like 3 inches wide and tall. A fucking like Game Boy looking thing, and you would just watch one episode of SpongeBob on like the most shitty quality. It's not even actual screen, it's like pixels that would like you be used on one of those almost like an Etch-a-Sketch looking thing.
Oh my God. I know that exact, like, is like it's serving like Tamagotchi almost.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
the pixels gotta move.
Yes, like exactly like that. Yeah.
Like we had like handheld gaming systems. I put cheap digital cameras and but I feel like that's one thing like iPads like can do all those things, so right. like it's interesting to me at least, like okay, I guess I did, like, in the car, I watched the movies. And then, like, at home, if I was bored, I was on my, like, little Game Boy. And then my sister, like, would take pictures. I, like, learned how to use a camera. But it's so, like, we did do all those things as children. But it's, like, I don't know. It just feels different. Like, it feels, like, more, like, chronic with yeah. this generation.
Yeah, I feel like because of the fact that on the iPad, there's, like, also – because you can use, like, apps for games and stuff, yeah. it, like, entices kids to stay on there for longer periods of time instead of having just, like, the standalone piece of technology where you couldn't use it to, like, also, you know, like, play a mini game on your portable DVD player.
Yeah, and so, yeah. like, then giving – because I was, like – but then we would still, like, have the opportunity to do those things. But I guess, like, yeah, it's, like – taking the break yeah. from, like, the movie ending and having to go and, like, switch to a new activity, I could be distracted by other activities, not necessarily the screen. But, yeah, if it's, like, it's all on one screen, you just, like, keep consuming.
Exactly. And I also think, a major difference, even though I know that a lot of them, like, I'm assuming would have, like, parental controls and stuff put on their iPads, like, it's still – we did have the internet, but we didn't have the internet in the same way with these devices. Like, it wasn't – we still could, I'm sure, like, even when we were younger, like, obviously kids could still be playing video games all the time, whatever, and that could have impaired their socializing skills and stuff. But at the same time, it wasn't – technology for us didn't in any way, like, replicate actual social interaction in the way that it does for, like, these kids. Like, even yeah. if they aren't – if they're, like, really young and they're not talking to, like, friends online necessarily, it's, like, even if they're playing, like, an online game in any way, there's still, like, live people playing. And I think in a lot of ways that's replaced – what we actually did have in person. And also with, like, what you guys are saying with being able to switch between things, whether it be, like, watching a movie on a portable DVD player and then, like, playing a video game at home or something, there's also so much more intentionality behind that with these games and everything. And, like you guys said, being able to switch between apps and everything, like, you just lose all of that. And it just leads to the whole shorter attention span thing and the influx of dopamine and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, the intentionality thing, I think, that's exactly what I was trying to get at. It's made me think, this is me as an adult. I hate grinding weed. There's something about it. I just hate it. I hate having to grind and then pack. And so but it's a good thing. It's a blessing because sometimes, you know, you're just like, maybe I'll smoke a little weed. And then I see I have to grind. I'm like, no. Yeah. I don't want to smoke that bad. And so that's like, I'm like, you know what? It's a good, I'm not going to push myself to, like, grinding because that is a good, like, gatekeeper kind of, but, like, blocker to make, like, do I really want it? Do I actually want to do that right now? Or am I just feeling, like, think I want to? I feel like that was similar to, like, all games we had to play or even just, like, getting a movie set up or something was, like, a 5-step process. And so it was, like you said, like, a very active choice. And sometimes it'd be like, I don't actually, like, want to do this that bad. I'm going to just, like, go on the swings or something.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. I feel like that's something else I was thinking of is that our technology, even by today's standards, like, was so much more primitive that we didn't even, like, have the same type of enticement to, like, want to stay on those devices.
Yeah.
Or, like, it's not, like, actually replicating real life to, you know, like, the most high quality graphics on a screen, which would, like, you know, make you want to stay in that world. Whereas we had shit where it was, like, literally, like, pixels,
literally,
on a black and white screen that was so small you could barely even see it.
Yeah.
So it was like, I don't know. I feel like it, like, didn't, it made us
it
not want to stay on it.
It wasn't as intoxicating.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like, it was easier to get off of those devices.
All of those, like, technology back then, I'm losing my train of thought. Literally. I have no idea what I was going to say.
Well, if that train comes by, we'll hop on it. But for now, we'll
I remember what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. Well, here we go.
It wasn't like, I mean, it's basically what you guys are saying, but it wasn't like almost like visually appetizing in the way that it is now. I feel like everything now has the added component of marketability and everything, which makes you want, which, like, these things are made with the intention of making you stay on because then they make more money and stuff, whether it be via ads in the games or whatever else it may be or on websites. And back then the case. So whatever enticed us to play a game or watch a movie or something was like the content itself that we were, I don't want to say consuming, because that felt like different back then. It felt like we were actually watching things, not consuming like we do now. And now it is more just like, it's supposed to be extra colorful and like just constant, like, yeah, you know, like little dopamine bursts.
Right.
Well, it's making
right.
me think of like the like fucking freeze frame, like cover photos for like kids YouTube videos where it's like every color they can fit in and yeah, giant literally. Words and like somebody with a shocked face, like it has to look like now it's like so oversaturated.
Exactly.
One thing I was thinking about, do you guys, that I feel like that was the precursor to this phenomenon, do you guys remember like the Leap Pad?
Yes,
I think they were called Leap Pads.
I never had one, but I know what you're talking
about.
I
never had one either. I think it was like they were coming out, I think, when we were a bit out of that age.
Yeah, we were like transitioning out of that age group.
And but I remember being like, that's sick. I wish I had that when I was younger.
Right.
But I think like the difference is like that was very much like educational, like, and like right. contained. Like it was only, it's like the same as like when I would play on the computer, like my parents would buy like Jumpstart games or like Math Blasters or something like that. So like I could play games, but it was still like educational games. And then as I got older, they just like bought whatever. But I feel like that was like what the Leap Pad did. And then now it's kind of like you can get any app ever on an iPad, you know, like it's not as like, even if you put parental controls on it, it's not as like inherently child friendly. And so then you have to like put in the work to make it child friendly yourself. And some parents, A, don't know how to do that. B, don't care to do that. C, don't realize they can do that. You know, like it's not as like packaged and like handed to you as like a Leap Pad was.
That's such a good point.
Right. Yeah. But even like if your child was using educational apps on an iPad, that's still, I feel like that's still a little bit better than just like letting them play Candy Crush for 8 hours.
Oh my God.
That's what I agree. And that's what I'm saying of like, I think like the Leap Pad was like, here, this is educational apps only. I don't know if they would call them apps on that, but like games and whatever. Whereas like the iPad, again, like the parents would have to go and like, there's also so many apps now too. Like they would have to go and like vet the apps, find the apps that they need, like find educational apps, like stuff like that, that are like child friendly.
Yeah.
And I think like that's not impossible to do. Like I think that I'm sure there are parents out there that do that. And that is like a more appropriate way to like let your kid use an iPad. But it's also just like knowing the general public, I don't think a lot of parents do that.
That's such a good point. I hadn't thought about how like the whatever technology gap is still occurring in older generations, having these kids impairs them from then like creating a safe environment for them when they are using these iPads. And it's like, and kids in the same way that like, you know, like when we were young and stuff, you could still get away with like convincing your parents to like let you do certain things that like they maybe knew a little bit about, but they don't know the full story. So like the kids who are a little older and like might want certain apps or whatever, that like they can still seem kid friendly, but still have other things that aren't things that they should actually be consuming, you know?
IMVU.
Literally, that's such a perfect example. Oh my God, Jill, I'm so glad you brought that up. I mean, yeah, like when I was a kid and I would play, like, I only played IMVU a little bit, but I played Zwinky a lot and I would literally use it and just talk sexually on there. Like, it was like literally.
Never
like
did
10.
Any of those.
Like, get like the most like hot, revealing outfit for your little, like, literally animated person.
I'm like, I'm here to fuck. But like with asterisks, because like otherwise you'd get banned, you know?
Right.
Like I'm 10. Like why?
Well, I feel like that's kind of like Roblox still like is something that kids use a lot. But like I've seen like people take screenshots of like Roblox stuff and people go on there and fuck around.
No, exactly.
You don't know who's on these things that you're like letting your children consume.
No, exactly. You can't monitor the online aspect at all. You can't monitor if like the age group that they're interacting with on there.
Yeah.
And even if you for whatever reason could, like that still doesn't, people still lie. So it's
sorry, this is gonna be a slight pivot, but it's to the like age group whatever. I on my podcast have been getting an ad for an app that's basically like TikTok for kids.
What?
And it's like, I can't remember what it's called. Give me a second. Let me see if I can find it.
Is it like do you remember if it's like, if, I don't know if it explained this. Is it like a whole ass like separate platform?
Yeah.
Or is it like, but okay. Is it related to TikTok still?
No. No. Oh. It's, so it's just, okay, so it's called Zigazoo. It's the same.
Zigazoo. Yeah,
the same. I mean, honestly, that is.
Who's your fighter?
Honestly, like, that is kid friendly.
That is kid friendly.
We watched Zaboomafoo. So I feel like kids just like that kind of like Zigazoo. But it's like the same as like, the reason I'm comparing it to TikTok is it's meant to like share videos, but you can't comment and you can't like download or share somebody else's video. And like everybody who like signs up for it, they literally like vet you to see if you're a child. But I'm like,
how?
They're like, age sex location.
How thoroughly well, they're checking that.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm like,
they're like, give us your license.
Yeah, your license. Yeah, let me see.
Like, if you don't have one, like,
they have to like show like that it's like a parent signing up for their kid or something. But
I just
like,
know there's going to be a lawsuit about this app that comes out. I've
been hearing it like the past like 2 weeks, and I'm just like, this is like a pedophile's paradise.
Literally.
Like this is, I can go, I don't have to waste my time with adults on TikTok. I can go and get what I want on this other app. You know those bitches are going to be able to like hack the system and get in.
No,
they're
absolutely
fucking crazy.
Yeah.
They do whatever they need to do. Like, I was just like, this is absurd to me. And it does suck. Like, obviously it's well-intentioned that like, oh, there should be kid-friendly space on the internet, but that will simply never happen.
It is
it
crazy
will
that it
simply
just can't happen.
Never happen.
Exactly.
But in the same way, you can't let your kid go to the park on their own. You can't let the kid go on the internet alone.
Yeah. Nikki, that's such a good point. Like, it's not in that. I hadn't thought about how, like, in that, like, compared to quote unquote real life, too. Like, you know, you also, you can't.
Yeah,
have
you
a kid
monitor
be
your kid at all times. Yeah. Yeah. The internet is the same thing. All the people that could snatch them on the park are also on the internet.
Literally.
You know, like, so I don't know. So we're calling it here and now, March 24th, 2024. Zigazoo is going to turn into an issue. It's either going to completely disappear and we're going to forget. But, oh,
yeah,
a year ago today it launched. Wow.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
Wow. All right. Well, 1 year anniversary.
Oh, no. It launched 1 year ago tomorrow. Sorry.
I love how on their website, the main quote is, so it says safe, positive social media. And it says Zigazoo is the quote, example of how to offer a social yet safe place, to be online, end quote, CNN. Like that it's not like they made it seem like, okay, they literally just described what it is. They weren't praising it.
They're like, this is an app that they want children to make videos on.
Yeah, literally.
It's like, wow. Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah, so I just, it's either gonna like vanish into oblivion and we're gonna completely forget about it, or some issues are gonna come up.
I knew it. I'm looking at their celebrity
reads.
Tiffany Haddish is on here and she is quite literally a known predator.
What?
Yes.
I did know that something was up with her, but I knew that there were like allegations about her, but I didn't realize that she was a predator.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she like went to court over something.
I'm looking her up.
Aubrey Plaza is on here.
On Zigazoo?
She's one of the celebrity reads. Terry Crews.
What does that mean, celebrity read?
I literally don't know.
I think they read a book on there. Or they like do a challenge.
Oh, yeah. They read a book. Okay, yeah. So I guess that's unrelated.
Yeah, Tiffany Haddish has had a molestation lawsuit.
Wow.
Hell yeah, she did.
Wow.
Like, that's what we're off to a horrible start. Horrible start. That is one of the easiest things you can vet, is that
right.
It's a public figure and you're going to tell me that you're going to make sure all the users are children. Like, no, you're not. You can't even vet the celebrities that
Literally.
You have coming on here. Like, God. Oh, so anyways,
yeah,
that's like, why I was like, it's a pivot, but I just remembered that.
Honestly, I think sorry to interrupt you, Nikki. It's such a choice. I'm looking at the celebrity reads things and all of the notable celebrities have pictures of them, but then they have like they list out names and because they probably realized the implications of having Tiffany Haddish on here, like they literally just have her name. And she's like the only one that I would actually know in this list.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we shall
Great.
See how that goes.
Yeah. Wow.
So what was the next thing we were gonna discuss after? Oh, Shaysel, you were going to talk about, like, societal like perception of iPad kids, right? Like the kind of Reddit stories you found and stuff.
Yeah. So I first like, I mean, I've heard of like the concept of iPad kids and stuff for a while. And I was like, I don't really, in my day to day life, like I'm not really like around like kids. So I don't really see it that much, but I've seen on social media, like the whole like iPad kid things and stuff. But I've more so, I got interested in this topic, just seeing like how Generation Alpha acts like socially and like how people are claiming that they have like no manners and all this stuff. And also like having some like friends of friends that are teachers and stuff that are dealing with these students and how, well, actually this is honestly more for Gen Z, that they're apparently like literacy rates like have like gone down and stuff, which is like so insane. But I mean, I have to like, you know, I still have to do like, I did a research, but I still have to like read like actual literature, which is actually hard to find because it's such a recent phenomenon.
Yeah.
To find like studies that have been done on this. But I think like, I mean, I know that because they're so stuck on iPads and everything, that they just, let me backtrack. It's not just the fact that they're on iPads that is like removing the skills that they would typically learn socially in person, that is like also impairing the way that they act like at large and like when they're acting up with people. I also believe that having iPads and these tools that like parents can just give their kids to shut them up and distract them is honestly, in my opinion, of equal like danger as just like the fact that they are socializing almost primarily through technology. Because when we do that, we reinforce their behaviors, which then also makes them like act bratty and stuff, which then makes them, when they're in school and being told what to do and everything, they're like, I don't have to do that. Cause at home, like, and I understand, I can only imagine what it's like being a parent and having to deal with a kid that will not leave you alone when you're busy or whatever it is. And sometimes you do have to just like give them what they want. And by doing that and by not punishing them in those moments, you're just reinforcing that behavior. So yeah, that's my main, I mean, I have more to say too, but that's the main thing that I've like reflected on from a psychological perspective on this.
Well, and that's like, for me, like, I, again, I'm not a parent. I like used to babysit. I have nieces that are around this iPad kid age. And like, I can see it's difficult and I can't pretend to know what it's like to be a parent 24/7, but people have been parents for thousands of years without iPads. And that's one thing I struggle with, where I'm like, okay, obviously like our parents' generation had their own issues, aka like generational trauma and like not going to therapy and then just having children and whatever, you know? So like, it's not like they were like great parents, but like I found ways to entertain myself as a kid, you know? Like, and so I think like that's what I struggle with. Like, I think like an iPad is like a very easy and like convenient way to like get your kid to fuck off, for lack of a better term. But like, there's got to be other ways. Like, you know, like, again, like, I didn't have an iPad as a kid. I'm sure I was up my mom's butt all the time. I was a pretty needy kid, but like, there's just other stuff to do, you know?
No, exactly. Yeah. And I feel like back then, if like, even if like a parent was just like, you know, like, fine, whatever, I'll give you like your toys, like you can do whatever you want, something good is still coming out of that, because the way that kids had to play beforehand like did foster creativity and just different skills and everything, and just like a general like sense of discovery that doesn't come with these things. Because when you're just playing on an iPad, like, obviously there are certainly, I'm sure, still like creative games you could be playing and stuff like that, but for the most part it is more of consumption that's happening. So they're not even in the meantime fostering other things that helps us like develop as humans and eventually reflect and all these things, which, I mean, you know, it's not like playing with toys like doesn't necessarily like develops like that specifically, but it is just it's just a foundation. It's just, it's part of the foundation of those skills later on in life that they're just completely missing now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's interesting to even think about how all of that stuff affects like their motor skills.
Yeah.
And how like just using a, like tapping on a screen, how that like prevents development in that sense. Because there was, on the Vice article that we read, they open with talking about how someone's child was like looking outside and saw a butterfly and doing a zoom motion on the window.
No, Joe. Yeah. Stop. It literally just sent shivers down my spine.
Right? That and is it, like, this was like a toddler.
And that is like so Black Mirror.
Yeah.
That is so.
No, right. I was like, you can't make that shit up. Like, these kids, the person was commenting on how like this child, not even at the age of 5, has mastered the art of like digital zooming and can't even like, I don't know, do something with their actual hands, like paint a picture.
Can't even wipe their ass.
Yeah, literally. They're not even potty trained. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I didn't even think about the fact that even
so dystopian,
even something like, yeah, like seeing a butterfly for the first time, you're, I guess you could also like argue like in movies and stuff, you could also, or shows, you could also have seen that when we were younger, but obviously to a whole different extent now, like the thought of like them even experiencing life for the first time digitally before seeing it in real life, and then therefore doing something like zooming in real life, that is so disturbing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, and one thing I've been seeing more on like TikTok is like there's been more like open hate against like iPad kids and like honestly like iPad parents, which like honestly I think needs to happen because I think it can't be normalized or else it's gonna like keep happening. Yeah. And again, I don't think it's inherently bad to have a child have like an iPad that is like I said, like if you can curate it to only have very specific apps and they get like you monitor their screen time and like stuff like that, I don't think that's any worse than us having, you know, a Game Boy or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's slightly different, but at the end of the day, I think it probably will have the same effect. Like if you, again, if you limit their time on it and stuff like, that would then enforce where we would naturally get bored from like a less stimulating game. Like they might not naturally get bored, but they're like forced off of it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there is a way, like realistically in the world we live in, like, to achieve it, but I think people like lean on it too much. And like one TikTok I actually saw today was like, POV, you taught your children to behave so you don't need to have them on iPads at the restaurant, and just like
I just saw
the kids
too.
Like sitting at the restaurant, and it's like, yeah, that's so crazy to me. That's what I mean, where I'm like, people have been parents for thousands of years. Like you should be able to have your child be under control in public. Like, yeah. You should not need to put a screen in front of that child's face to get them to, like, shut up and behave. Like, that just, like, is dystopian to me.
A question that, like, I wrote that I definitely want to reflect on and also, like, maybe look into for our next episode on this is, like, the way – obviously, the people raising these kids were also, like – I mean, they're, like, for the most part, millennials. So they were raised with technology – like, technology – when they were in their younger years as well, they're like in a very different capacity. And I think that, well, I know that our own relationship to technology is affecting the way that we know how to navigate it with them. There was also something I was going to fucking, I'm getting really hungry. There was also something else I was going to say about that I can't remember. It's not just the way that we were raised with technology too and people older than us, but it's the fact and how we ourselves don't know how to like, how to manage that, but it's also the way with like how capitalism has become and the way in which we don't have any time to rest really between work. I think like parents before didn't have to deal with that. So the way that we have to deal with our kids now, it's easier to just give them an iPad to deal with their shit because we ourselves can't deal with our own shit.
True. Right? And there was like, that's a good point. And like, it was more traditional for there to be like stay-at-home moms. So their job was taking care of the kids.
Exactly. Right. And right now, yeah, the way that we move now is so different that it's really hard to separate it from like what's happening overall throughout all generations in our society right now.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point too. Like, yeah, it's just like tough because like I said, like also I like can't pretend to know everything, but it's like, that's what's tough is that it's like, I don't have an answer, but I like know like this is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what makes it so difficult is that what do you do about it?
Especially because like, oh, I just want to mention that even if kids aren't using iPads at home, a lot of schools have integrated technology into the classroom and are using iPads like as part of lessons. So even if your kid isn't using, you know, technology and having screen time when they're not at school, they probably are at school. And those iPads are not very good at controlling the content that kids can see.
Do you guys remember smart boards?
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
They thought that was going to be all the rage.
No, I know. They were so annoying.
But it died real quick.
And they were so glitchy.
Literally. Yeah,
they always fucked up.
Damn, I forgot about that. I feel like I know that parents like throughout history, there's always something that like they want to avoid. Like you try to raise your kids a certain way, whatever. But then like when they get older and they start to socialize with other people themselves and everything, there's always like dangers to, like what they might be learning and if it's like different than, you know, what you want to instill in your kids and all that stuff. But like I feel and, you know, other things before like, when we were growing up, it was like, oh, like kids doing drugs and whatever and like avoiding that type of stuff or like stranger danger and whatever else. But like now it's like it's hard because if all of their peers are using like iPhones like that early on and everything, because I thought about this for myself, I'm like, okay, eventually, and even though I'm sure things will look very different even then with how technology is like rapidly progressing in this direction, if I choose to have kids in the future, like, I don't know what I would do, because like I would want to limit these things for my kid, but then you don't want to ostracize them from their peers, you know? So it's like,
if
that is the way that they primarily communicate, and we have to understand that it's just like a new way of socializing for them. You don't want to take away from that, but we as humans have not evolved to be in that space either. It's like all this is moving so fast in a way that even as new generations can learn things differently, our brains themselves have not evolved to work differently. Our brains themselves have not yet worked to understand like that socializing that way can still bring the same benefits that it would in person, because we have not evolved as humans just because technology has evolved.
Right.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, we as adults, like I even struggle with like being on screens
literally.
And like, stuff like that.
And we're so adults. Like,
yeah. So it's like, if I can't even like get it under control myself, like how am I going to like control a child with it, you know?
And that's part of the problem, is that these kids are seeing their parents model excessive social media and like phone usage, and they don't see that it's a problem because their parent is doing the same exact thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, this is like, that's like a, I can't remember the study for this, but that was like a really big study in psychology. And I would say like, I think in maybe the 80s or the 90s with like how we learn and stuff and like modeling behaviors, and the whole concept of like, do as I say, not as I do, is just like, it's
so
extremely
stupid.
Flawed, and it's not how it is at all. So it's like, it's like if a parent is also on their phone all the time and whatever else, like you're learning that that's okay to do. And also like, you'd be a hypocrite if you tell your kids they can't do that and you are all the time.
Yeah.
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 That's why I'm like, well, I don't know the answer though.
No, yeah.
I'm like, y'all shouldn't do that, but I don't know.
Actually,
what else
we have the answer. We're gonna solve it.
Yep. The answer is just wait for the solar flare to come.
Yeah, the apocalypse is the answer.
I'm still
I'm holding out hope.
Yeah,
maybe in our lifetime.
I just like, again, I know how like devastating a solar flare that wipes out all our technology would be. I know that would actually uproot so many people's lives. That would kill people who are like on life support and stuff. Like, that would be so horrible. But also, damn, I would get on my little house on the prairie shit. Like, that would be, I feel like life would be so simple in the sense of it would be harder to survive. So that's all I would have to think about.
Exactly.
Like,
no, right?
That is the main concern, like, is just like, literally just feeding yourself and surviving and caring for your family.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who cares about like, the bills?
Exactly.
Yeah, literally.
Like, oh, it just like seems like, I don't know, kind of nice.
Simpler in a sense, you know?
Yeah, primitive. Let's go back to the primitive lifestyle.
Yeah, we need to be with our
in my primitive
Lucy.
Era.
There's only two genders, hunters and gatherers.
Chaselle, did you have anything else that you wanted to mention?
There's a short story. I have to read it myself, but I want to address it in the next episode. I found one that was written in the 1950s, and it's called The Veldt, spelled VELDT, and I guess it like really touches on this exact phenomenon and like kids not having manners and stuff and just being super detached from their parents and like society from like advances. I don't know if it's like technological advances or something else, but something to address in the next one. But let me see if I had any other notes that I wanted to. Oh, I mean, just there were just like some two like minor facts that I wanted to add, that just adolescents spend an average of. There was a study that, and this is not surprising at all, just that teenagers spending an average of 2 hours on mobile gaming had experiences of like loneliness and aggression upon like withdrawal of removing that from them, which like, I mean, that's like under duh, that makes sense. But also that on average, a child, which I don't know the age range that they had for this study, but a child spends approximately 7 to 8 hours on mobile devices, which like, bitch, me too. But like,
yeah.
But I'm not a child. So
right.
Yeah.
I wonder like how Gen Alpha, when they grow up, will contribute to the loneliness epidemic, and like how exacerbated that is going to be by them being iPad kids.
I feel like, or at least does it. Because I think that's a really good point, because I think they're going to have like a different relationship than we do, in the same way like we have a different relationship with the internet than like millennials do, you know, just like all that kind of stuff, to the point where I feel like we practice more internet safety than like millennials do.
Yeah.
In the most part, because I think like when you grow up with something and you're more familiar with it, you like understand it better instead of like it being like this new shiny flashy technology. Like I feel like that's why like adults are always like scammed more than like teenagers or something, because teenagers are aware of it. And so I do wonder if like with the loneliness epidemic and like just like being on screens and like having your like personal life in this one device or like two devices, like I wonder if they're going to be more familiar with it and like go back, like go against it when they're older.
I do think, I mean, like, it's just like this is vaguely based on like some of the things that I read. So I don't know, like, if, and obviously only time will tell. But I think that if anything, honestly, like in terms of like the way that we consume content and the way that we use technology, I think that Gen Z is probably going to be like, right now it seems like Gen Alpha too, since they're at such a young age doing this. But I feel like Gen Z is probably going to face like the most like mental damage from the way that we like consume content. And I think that if anything, even though like these younger generations are also going to be experiencing some of that, unfortunately, I believe that like I have to hope that they'll learn to adapt and like work with the technology in a different way, in a way that we don't yet understand right now, because like they're going to grow up with things like AI and everything, which is like, I know, which is also fucking terrifying to think about. Actually, this is a complete side note about AI that I won't go into right now, but I just need to say, Lynn just told me today that that movie that I really liked, Late Night with the Devil, it's actually just now released.
I've heard about this. Yeah.
Yes. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah, they used AIR. They used AIR.
Yes. I saw this on the Letterboxd Reddit.
Yes, I have. I want to read about it myself, but I'm going to.
I'm sad because I want to see it.
Like, I'm still, I mean, I'm going to see it again this week, but I'm just like, what? Like, I mean, that definitely, I can kind of, looking back, and kind of imagine what it is they're referring to, but I'm just like, ew, that's so icky. Why the fuck would you use AI for? Why would you use AI for that? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It's in the like transition pictures where it's like almost like the like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but one of the pictures has like pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns on it. It's almost like when there's like the like title card or like a please, we'll be right back or whatever. Yeah. Like, and it's on the screen for like 2 seconds. And so I've seen people be like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, it's only like 2 seconds. But people are like, A, this is like half of what the writer strike was about, like using AI instead of like actual creators.
I didn't even think about that.
This is them, maybe not consciously, but like testing the boundaries of like using AI in creative things. Because like if we don't raise hell and be like, what the fuck, like pay real people, creators to do that, then that studio is like, well, we did it last movie and nobody cared, like let's make this one scene AI, and then if nobody
and save
says
some
anything,
money on that, yeah,
it's just gonna like go and go and go. And so that's why people are like, yes, like this one instant is not the end of the world, but like it's the start of the end of the world. One thing, oh my god, that was a bar I saw on TikTok on a comment
about
under,
this movie,
yeah, a comment about this movie or just AI art in general. Somebody said AI art steals from artists twice. First, when it learns from their art. Second, when it takes their jobs.
Dude, because that's rough.
Because I'm like,
damn.
Bars.
Because it is. The only reason AI knows art is because it's scanned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So many real humans art before. So, I was like, that's tough. Like, that went hard. And it was, like, too real. But, yeah,
damn.
Kids growing up with AI is scary because I feel like I worry that it's going to, like, be too normalized for them because they're just used to it.
That's
like
a really
this
good
is
point.
Like a problem.
It's definitely gonna really change how school works, because I have literally seen people be like, oh, college is so easy now, you can use ChatGPT to just write your essays.
It's so crazy, because when I did this admitted students day, one of my options was to sit in a class, and in that class, like, I saw the syllabus, and it's crazy to see in the academic, like, it's only a couple of years since I've been out of school, and it's crazy to see like in the academic dishonesty section, like a whole section dedicated to AI. Yeah. And it was interesting the saying that you, like, the way that they're approaching it, at least like at this school with this class, like talking about, and I guess it's the school's policy, but how like you can use it as a resource, but in the same way that you're allowed to like bounce off ideas with a friend, you can't actually like steal ideas from a friend. I'm like, okay, like I can see how they're incorporating like the reality of the fact that people are going to use AI for assignments and stuff now in a way that's like still not being academic dishonesty. But it is just very, very, very insane to think about what it's going to change educationally, which is like what I think about, honestly. And I think it's because like I want to eventually be a professor and everything. Like when I read about all these things, I'm thinking about it primarily from a psychological perspective and like how it's going to affect them clinically and stuff with their mental health. But also I like and socially, but also educationally, I think it's going to change everything.
Yeah. Well, it's already like our teachers like hated Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
I was like, y'all had no idea what was coming. Like now, like Wikipedia is like a very reliable source.
Literally.
But, can I make a comment? This is like, I've definitely mentioned this also in a previous podcast episode, but I find it so interesting. It's about like the cycle of like generations.
Oh, yeah.
So it's called the Strauss-Howe generational theory, and there's four turnings, that's what they call it, four stage cycle of social or mood eras that they call turnings, and each one lasts like 20 to 22 years.
The this kind of sounds like when Pluto changes and becomes like the age of Aquarius or whatever.
Oh yeah,
I think if it's like 20 to 22 years then
I think it's like around there.
So the first one is high, which is institutional.
High.
Institutions are strong and individualism is weak. So like that's post-World War II America to the assassination of JFK. So like mid-40s to mid-60s. So that's when like everybody was like, yay, America. And it was all like, yeah, sucking America's dick. And then the second turning is called awakening. And that's what when like people are like, why are we like obsessed with institutions? And then they like want to like recapture like self-awareness, spirituality, like authenticity, stuff like that. And that was mid-60s to the 80s, and this is like goes years and years, like hundreds of years back they've looked at it, but this is the most recent cycle of it, which is like the like Vietnam protests and like tax revolts in the 80s and like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then after that is unraveling. It's like when institutions are weak and distrusted and individualism is like strong and flourishing. And that's like the 80s to like the 2000s. And then right now we're in crisis.
Oh,
which like makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is an era of destruction involving war or revolution, which institutional life is destroyed and rebuilt in response to a perceived threat to the nation's survival. After the crisis, civic authority revives, cultural expression redirects towards community purpose, and people begin to locate themselves as a member of larger groups. So we're like at the end of the crisis cycle, and so I'm like hoping that like this upcoming like group of like young adults are going to be the ones to like dismantle this current thing and like bring everybody back together, because it's like, yeah, we're like not in a war, but it like, I don't know, like the January 6th insurrection.
It's the war on something at more abstract.
War on
Christmas.
They would say like patriotism. Yeah. Like, but you know, like I feel like there is like, it's not even like a cold war per se, because it's not like the threat of weapons, but there is like a like social civil war going on, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like,
no, absolutely. Like, that's a really like, well said, yeah.
So divided. And so I feel like what needs to happen is like the big like, not insurrection, but like revamping of like all of the systems and like bring everybody back together. And then we would be back in the high, which is the first one. And we'd go high because we would like people again. No, it's H-I-G-H. But like, because then,
but then because it's a new system, high again.
Oh, but it's like trust in your trust in the government, like trust in like right now, like even if like people like don't even trust like an HOA or something.
No, literally.
You know, like it's like, oh, yeah, there any sense of community is like no, because it feels like anybody in power is gonna abuse it because it's been so abused for 60 years. And so it's gonna like revamp and like make people more community driven, which like does, you have to have some institutional structure to like support that.
Yeah.
But it's not like fascist. It's like we like our government again, basically, like post World War II up to JFK, like people are proud to be American. Okay. And like very like, that's like when you see like the 50s when people were like, oh, like I, you know, love the 50s when they were having like picnics with their neighbors and nobody locked their doors and stuff. Like obviously we won't go all the way back to that, but that's like, that's why it's the high, is because people are like content and like happy with where the country is and like happy with the systems in place and stuff like that.
I have to add something to that really quick. That's like that I had honestly not thought out from this perspective. And I had this like discussion with people at lunch at the Chicago thing that was like so insightful. And they were talking about politics and stuff. And they were talking about how like, actually it's a couple of things that I want to say, but they were talking about how the politicians leading us now, like, and I can't believe I haven't thought about this, that like their experiences growing up inform their political decisions, which like does make sense. Obviously, I know that they're human. I know that their life experiences impact that, but the way that they grew up in the Cold War and everything, like now it's, we're talking about like the war that we have, like the like eminent like Cold War that we have specifically with like China going on, and the way that we like demonize like China in every possible way. And we do that same with like Russia and everything, you know, but we're talking about China specifically. And it's crazy because like these politicians, like, yes, the decisions they make now are based on like what they saw growing up and the way that they processed fear growing up in like political climates, which is like so insane to think about.
Yeah.
And there was something else I was going to say that I'm forgetting.
Also, Pluto changes signs. I just looked it up, every 12 to 30 years.
Yeah. Oh, just whatever so, we feel like.
That yeah. Year. So that's okay. Why I'm like, I don't know. Like it could be 20, but.
Oh, the other thing I was going to say is I saw this infographic talking about how, and obviously we know that this happens, like when there's like in general, like typically if there's like a Republican who's president in the U.S. or something, then like Democrats disapprove of like their choices, like economic choices and stuff like that, and like vice versa. But like right now and for the past couple of candidacies that we've had starting from like Bush, like there's already been like a bigger and bigger gap with that. And obviously right now, like everything is extremely polarizing, which it actually has essentially with the perception being so different between people who identify politically as Republican versus Democrat. There are two economies existing basically, because like they obviously economics like follows a science, whatever, that I know nothing about, but it is like a thing that's like created by our perception of like how the economy is moving and everything like that. And right now there are two economies in the U.S. because the perceptions are so polarized, which is insane.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's like, yeah, crazy to think about, but it's because like, yeah, the way I operate with my day-to-day life is going to be very different than the way that like a Republican is going to operate with their day-to-day life and like treat the world around.
No, exactly. Which like, obviously right. Then in turn, like actually it affects the perception of the economy, which in turn like affects, like does create two different economies, just because it is like, I really don't know anything about economics, but I do know that like it follows trends and whatever the fuck else and like the cycles, and those things affect the way that we behave with our finances and everything, you know? So yeah. In turn, it does actually end up creating two economies in the U.S., which is like insane and makes it impossible to then follow any sort of like law that we know about that. So yeah, shit's just really fucked.
Okay, can I go into some of the light research?
Yes. Yes.
Keep everyone excited for the next episode.
Yes.
Okay. Well, very basic information. A 2017 study, so this is like several years ago at this point, found that nearly 80% of children have access to an iPad or other type of tablet. So I'm sure that's like at least probably gone up to 90% at this point, especially post-COVID. Honestly, it might be like, I don't know if there is even a kid that doesn't have access to some type of tablet.
Yeah.
No, you're right, dude.
Yeah. Which with COVID, one meta-analysis found that from January 2020 through March 2022, screen time for all children under 18 increased by an average of 50%.
50%?
Yeah, or 84 minutes a day. Oh, and this didn't even take into account the school required use. Yeah. So that was like after school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's one thing, again, like, it's so crazy. Obviously, like, we knew COVID was going to change a lot of things. But, like, it's so crazy. Like, we're still, like, barely out of COVID because there recently was, like, a flare-up, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
A flare-up as if, like, each person who had – but, you know, it
no,
was.
No,
like,
it yeah.
reared its head again. And we're already seeing, like – it makes me think of, like, 9/11, how, like, airports were never the same.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that was a very clear thing to change. Like, and I, like, we talked about during COVID, we're like, the world as we know it is going to change as a result for this. And we knew like companies now are more chill with like working from home and like stuff like that because it became more like normalized and accepted. But like, it's so crazy to like, I didn't even think of this, like how children are going to be more attached to their screens because it is like
they had to be like,
they had to. Yeah. Like they would have to FaceTime grandma or something. Yeah. Like they couldn't see her. And like, just like, that's how we communicated and like use Zoom and stuff. And then it's just like, also, that's also one thing where I'm like, I can't even pretend to know what it's like to have to entertain a child for 12 hours. Like if they're not going to school and they're home
and you're working
all day, every day.
Too.
Yeah. Like eventually you're going to like have a day where you're like, fine, just
fuck
use
it.
The iPad,
yeah, literally,
you know,
like let your brain rot for a second, because I sure as hell can't deal with that.
Yeah,
I literally can't even imagine the amount of times that I, as an adult, need to let my brain rot and having to deal with a fucking kid who, like, no.
I was also reading a study, which I'll save this information for the next episode because it definitely got a little scientific and I had to read several sentences to actually understand what was happening.
We're getting scholarly.
yes for real. I found a website that is all about like children and social media, and there was an article on there called Digital Media and Developing Brains: Concerns and Opportunities. So
I read that one too.
Yeah, so there was a lot of information already that they are seeing in developmental, like the developmental stages of children, and how social media use is affecting like the literal matter of your brain and like making it weaker, just overall causing weakness of your neurons and like white matter, which is obviously going to affect children's development in all areas, especially like motor skills, language skills, literacy. Just all of that. Terrifying. And also, one thing that I've been thinking about a lot recently, because I have astigmatism and I love to play on my Switch, and I can see like a clear correlation between when I play games for more often and like my astigmatism getting really bad.
Really?
On certain days. Yeah. So I, in the Vice article that we were reading, a behavioral and a neurodevelopmental optometrist, Bhavin Shah, I don't know how to pronounce their name exactly, but they say that there are really important consequences of iPad use related to your eyes. Children are going to be more short-sighted than ever before. and children under the age of 3 can also pick up undeveloped fine motor skills and a difficulty in visual spatial awareness. Just because they're getting used to 2D worlds instead of the real one. And I'm sure that this is going to make kids have astigmatism at much younger ages. And so far, they do not have a way to cure astigmatism. Hopefully, maybe because of this, some kids will figure out how to use the lasers to fix astigmatism. But as of right now, we don't have that. And that shit is like, it fucking makes it hard to see. It makes everything blurry, and there's like no way to fix it other than just like going to bed for the day and keeping your eyes closed for 8 hours so they can repair a little bit. Yeah, it's not fun. But yeah, that's some.
The future's looking so bright.
Yeah. Whoa.
Society is collapsing. Like we're getting stupider.
We're gonna be blind.
We're gonna be like literally.
Amazing. Can't wait.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, but we'll keep the more in-depth research for the next episode and give you all some clear statistics and studies.
Yeah, because obviously it's still a newer thing, but it's been around long enough that like also the studies are newer, which is also nice. Sometimes when you're researching something, you can only find studies from like 2008.
Oh,
like,
right.
Okay, well, that literally is an entire different world. Like this doesn't really count anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, did we have anything else we wanted to add on in our more introduction one? I think I've covered everything.
Same.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening. As I said, this is going to be at least a two-parter, maybe a three-parter. It depends how much we find and like how much we need to unpack everything we find, stuff like that. But we will be revisiting this in the next episode. We are going to try to get back to our schedule, posting every other Tuesday. But when Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't, for a second, that didn't sound right. Every other Tuesday, on pretty much anywhere you can find your podcast, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
And leave us a rating on your podcast platforms, please. If,
yeah. A yes. 5-star.
Yeah. Don't do specifically. Otherwise, don't.
We're not trying to skew the results. We're just trying to keep them honest.
Literally, exactly. Yeah. We're a 5. We are 5 stars.
Yeah. So.
Bye. Bye.